Facebook, Google, all of these companies are trying to figure out where are the rules and where are they going to draw the line.
There's clearly a demand for renters. They've got most of them full.
If you own a bond in your retirement portfolio, the price of that is going to go down.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Steve. He is off on another one of his amazing adventures. I don't know if you're watching Facebook, but the pictures look really great. You can follow him there. We've got an amazing show for you today. Rochelle Garner is on the phone. She'll be joining us in just a moment. We're going to talk about G Plus and the fallout. I mean, were you ever on G Plus? I don't know. And Ross Kimborowski, he's the CEO of Crowdspring, is going to drop by. We're going to talk a little bit about branding and how Dunkin' is dropping the donuts, although the donuts, frankly, are my favorite part. We've got some information on financial stress and how quickly you can now get paid. That's coming up with Maria LaManga. She's a reporter at MarketWatch. And then finally, Eileen Norcross with the state-by-state fiscal rankings. I'm not going to give anything away by telling you we're not doing great, but you'll want to stay tuned because that is just part of what's coming up in the next 60 minutes, brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. And of course, you're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank on 720 WGN. All right, Rochelle joins me now. Rochelle, welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So everybody who has a Gmail account has G+, right? Google+, it was one of those things that was going to be the next big thing, and somehow it just got eclipsed by Facebook, Instagram, Snap, I don't know, everything else. And now it's going away, or it's already gone. What's the take on that, do you think?
So I'm not sure that everybody had it, because I saw no reason myself to sign on for it. I think if you had Gmail, you had the option of doing Google+. It's considered the biggest failure in Google's history because very few people actually signed up for it. And a couple of days ago, the Wall Street Journal revealed that a vulnerability made it possible for some developers to be able to see some of your data. It's not that necessarily it happened or was abused, but it was a potential, and Google shut down Google+. Now, yesterday, several senators wanted to see if the FTC could investigate why it took so long for Google to reveal this, and basically there was no law, no federal law saying they had to.
Sheer embarrassment? I don't know. You know, we trust Google with so many things that it is kind of amazing that they weren't a little bit more careful here.
It's true, and apparently what they had done, they had begun an audit of their various apps and systems, and that's how they discovered this vulnerability back in March. Now, they found it in March. It's only because of the Wall Street Journal report that they even acknowledged that, yes, this really was a thing. But 500,000, apparently, accounts were potentially exposed.
So we don't
It's hard
know.
For anybody to really know, really, or what was taken, which is one of the reasons why they really didn't have to, but it is absolutely an embarrassment for them. The last thing they wanted to be was sort of like put in the same swimming pool as Facebook with all its problems.
Yeah, or anybody else who gets their information hacked. We can think of any number of examples. All right, well, let's talk about some of the other news that's coming through CNET today. SoundCloud, helping artists make money. That's a good thing, right?
That's a good thing, and I can remember talking to Peter Frampton years ago, complained vehemently that it's the only way for musicians to make money is if they actually are on tours. Well, the great thing about SoundCloud is it really is a great way for up-and-coming indie artists to get their music heard. And so what SoundCloud is doing is making it possible for just $8 a month, those creators can actually put their money, their music up online, people can listen to it, and if you download it or stream it, actually, then you will get about 55% of the revenue from SoundCloud. So hallelujah for that. I'm sure a lot of songwriters and performers are happy about it.
Oh, I think they absolutely are. And then I know we don't have time to get to everything today, but I love this Verizon taking credit for aiding first responders, but only after they throttled their data. So what's the story there?
Yeah, that was basically what were you thinking department when they came up with that ad. What was it? I think it was in August during the, in California, the Mendocino Complex fire, the biggest, one of the biggest wildfires in California history. This is a bad one. And the firefighters that were on Verizon saw that their data plans were throttled because they had exceeded their data plans. So the very self-congratulatory ads that Verizon put out about itself didn't exactly go over well with the public. So taking those down.
Yeah, well, shame on them, because really it reminds me of what sort of the big newspaper chains have done, like the Washington Post, the New York Times. When you've had all of these huge hurricanes, they just open it up and say, any story we have on any of these, we want the information to get out. Seems like Verizon could have done the exact same thing. Rochelle Garner, features editor at CNET, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Elise Glink, CEO of Best Money Moves and publisher of thinklink.com and frequent guest here on WGN Radio, filling in for Steve Bertrand today, who is off on another adventure. Welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. We're going to talk now with Ross Kim Bavarsky. I hope that's right, CEO of CrowdSpring. Ross, welcome back to the program.
It's very close.
Well, good enough then. So Dunkin' Donuts is dropping donuts from its name and logo. In many people's opinion, I've done this informal poll, everybody likes the donuts the best. But major brands are shaking things up all over the place. What do businesses need to know about that? And what are you thinking and advising your clients?
So ultimately, we have shifts occurring in the marketplace, and they're driven by a couple of different reasons, probably many, but the two most important ones, brands, companies will sometimes evolve. And so in the case of Dunkin' Donuts or Weight Watchers, which is doing the same thing, their customers are buying fewer products. So Dunkin' Donuts, while people love donuts, fewer people are buying donuts. And if you look at millennials and Generation Z, they are eating more healthy. They're trying to find foods without as much sugar. So as companies face the situation, they have to wonder, what can we do to reposition ourselves? And that's precisely what they're doing. They're changing, in Dunkin' Donuts' case, they're dropping the donuts part of the name and obviously modifying their logo. Weight Watchers changed the logo and the name. Because it's not so much about losing weight, it's more about health and exercise. And so the lesson for small businesses, and my company CrowdSprings helps small businesses, entrepreneurs and agencies with logo design, branding, naming for every stage of their growing business. Lesson is, you don't want to continue to operate a business if your business is no longer perceived the same way by your potential customers and customers as it used to be. So I mentioned there were two key drivers. One is customers perceive you different. The other one is bad publicity. And a good example of that is, well, two good examples, Papa John's and Uber. Both have faced a lot of bad publicity. And Uber just recently rebranded for the second time in 3 years. Papa John's has dropped the apostrophe S, dropped the apostrophe from their name to show that they're not owned by any one person, having gone through some turmoil with their founder. So businesses need to take a look at their brand, because at the end of the day, if you think about, you know, why are logos, why is branding so important? It takes 10 seconds to form a first impression of a brand's logo. So really very quick, and that's because we're visual creatures. Our brains process images about 60,000 times faster than we process words. And so whenever companies find themselves in a situation where their branding just isn't up to par, or in the case of these examples, it's old and tired and needs to evolve and become fresh, that's a great opportunity to rebrand.
So let me just jump in and ask you, did you think that the Dunkin' Donuts brand or Weight Watchers brands needed the refreshing? I mean, it's funny, because with Weight Watchers calling it now W2 or W squared, to me, that's a non-brand. You know, you just have a letter, and the letter's not that distinctive that they chose. What you do have, though, is the power of Oprah Winfrey and all of the people that she still brings along the path. So in your mind, if they were your clients, would you have said scrap and you know, institute a $500,000 rebranding campaign and then spend all the money to literally rebrand everything, would you have said go for it?
I think that's a tough situation for Weight Watchers. We work with tens of thousands of clients, ultimately, and particularly companies that rename. So there are a number of situations where you get to a point where whatever name you initially started working under just isn't working for you. And this has happened to some of the most renowned companies. Google didn't start out as Google. Apple didn't start out as Apple. It was Apple Computer Company. And so a lot of companies end up evolving their name and ultimately their brand. But if we take a step back and ask, what is a logo? What is a brand? So a logo has to embody your brand, number one. It has to be instantly recognizable. It has to be versatile, and it has to be timeless. So to your point about Weight Watchers, this is a problem for them because the logo they chose to use for this new brand doesn't have a lot of market recognition and ultimately may not stand out that much. But that's true for pretty much every small business, every entrepreneur who starts a new company. They haven't introduce their brand to the market. They don't have much market recognition. And so
But it can make a big difference. And I'll use our own company, Best Money Moves, as an example. We entered a competition last year for the next great HR tech company. And we got selected to get to the finalist stage simply because running down the list of 160 entrants, our name stood out and our logo stood out. And so it can actually be the difference to, you know, winning or being recognizable or not. I mean, to your point.
Absolutely. In fact, for example, colors, immensely important. So if you have a signature color, it can help increase brand recognition by 80%. And so one great example of this, if you're walking on the street and you see somebody with a coffee cup with a green logo on it, you're instantly going to think it's the Starbucks logo, whether it is or isn't, simply because that color is associated with their brand. So branding is extremely important. And one of the challenges for small businesses is it can be expensive. So if you think about traditionally, businesses had to pay tens of thousands of dollars to brand or rebrand their companies. It's actually one of the reasons why we started CrowdSpring, to help small businesses do it for a fraction of the price. So it can make a big difference. If you look at the best companies in the world, the most successful brands we love, they all have good names. They all have strong logos. It's hard to find companies that are successful that have terrible names or poorly executed logos.
That's a great point. Ross Kimbavarsky, CEO of CrowdSpring, thank you so much for being with us today on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Elise Gling, CEO of Best Money Moves and publisher of ThinkLink.com. And you normally hear me on Mondays with Steve, but I'm filling in today and tomorrow. Very excited to be here on the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. So as the CEO of Best Money Moves, I am really worried about Americans' money and how they spend their money and where their next paycheck in some cases is going to come from. But really, instead of just paychecks, we should be thinking also about how people get the money from those paychecks. And is there any other way that they can get some cash to help with emergencies? Because where we fall short, generally speaking, is when an emergency hits, there's not enough money in the bank to cover it. So with me now, Maria LaMagna. She's a reporter with MarketWatch. I wanted to bring you on, Maria, to talk about changing the cycle of when Americans get paid. It's something that I think you've been watching as well. Welcome back to Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
So we've seen companies like Even, Stripe, and Green Dot. There's another one that I met this week called Honeybee. Their website is meethoneybee.com, and we can talk about them in a minute. But they're all changing how people get paid. And in some cases, they're moving it. Even works with they work with one of the big lender, big box retail stores, but
Walmart. Yep.
Thank you. So yep. They, you know, there you can work a half a day, or you know, with some of these others as well, and then get paid right away or get paid down the line. Tell me why, in you know, doing the stories that you've been working on, why you see this as being a real improvement for Americans.
Yeah, so you're totally right. It's definitely about actually when you get paid, not only how much you get paid, but as you mentioned, you know, so many people are living paycheck to paycheck, and then an unexpected expense comes up, and before the next paycheck comes in, they end up having to take out a payday loan or something like that. And as probably most of us know, those are very expensive. They have very high interest rates, and you end up paying much more than what you actually took out. So it seems like this new crop of companies has been really thinking about that and thinking, okay, well, if people are actually working and they have a paycheck due to them, why can't we just get it to them a little bit earlier when they need it instead of, you know, forcing them to look into some of these more expensive options?
Right. And I think it's incredibly important to talk about how, you know, when you get paid in advance from your own company, you do have to pay that back. You still have to pay your taxes on it. And it doesn't solve every single problem. But I think on the other hand, if you're going to pay back to your company, and in some cases they do this without charging you interest or a very small amount of interest, the companies are trying to offer this as a benefit. Is that your experience as well as you're reporting on this?
Yes. So the companies that I talk to, yes, they don't do it as a loan, even as a subscription service. So you just pay $6 a month and you're entitled to get your paycheck early if you need it. You know, another company called Daily Pay charges like a $3 transaction fee every time you get your paycheck early. So it's not a loan. It's just, you know, sort of a one-time fee. But you're totally right. You know, if you are having trouble managing your money, simply getting it earlier isn't going to necessarily solve that. So that's where some of the controversy comes in. Even the CEOs of these companies are saying this isn't necessarily going to help you with money management if you don't also work on your budget. So some people may just feel like, oh, I have my money earlier. I have even more money to burn, which you really hopefully won't think of it that way. I think it will work the best if someone just uses it sparingly. And if you really are in an emergency and you need money, this is maybe a good alternative to, as we said, some of those more expensive options.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the reasons I started Best Money Moves, which is a sort of a technology plus coaching solution, is because I felt that people were looking for the fast cash and they weren't actually thinking about how to manage through these different cycles and emergencies. Mm-hmm. But the CEO that I met the other day, who's the CEO of a company called Honeybee, they do something a little bit different. They're still in this get cash fast thing. But what they do, and they're a B Corp, so kind of somewhere between for-profit and not-for-profit, but they make loans of up to $2,500 with just a $50 fee. And if it's a smaller loan, it's 5% of that. And it's a loan against your future income, and you have to pay it off out of each paycheck over 3 months. And so instead of, you know, using your cash that you have today, they're giving you a low-cost loan that amortizes out to be just 11% interest, which I know sounds high in the world where you hear a lot about 4.5%, but that's a mortgage and this is more like credit card stuff. But at least you're not getting a loan from a payday lender, and it's from your own employer as well. What do you think of solutions like that? Because I know they're not the only ones out there with that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess, as you said, that does seem like a little bit of a high interest rate. But when, you know, the average credit card interest rate is somewhere around 17%, and oftentimes they're higher, you know, into the 20s or even the low 30s, I guess 11% would definitely be better. And the other problem with credit cards is that, you know, people end up just putting more and more charges on their card, and it can quickly spiral out of control. So maybe something that's a little bit more, you know, laid out in front of you, and hopefully you know all the costs going into it, maybe that could be something a little bit better.
Yeah, I hope that there is, people start to realize, and in my world, there's such a focus now from companies on this, and we hear a lot of talk about millennials and student debt, but there are other kinds of debt that they've accumulated. And then you've got Gen X, which has plenty of debt, plus kids that are growing up, and baby boomers who still have their own college debt, plus now their kids and grandchildren's college debt that they've signed on for. So everybody feels, and there's this recognition from large employers, medium-sized employers, and even small employers that they have to find other ways to help employees do a little bit better with what they have. And solutions like this, I think, are a part of that. What else are you seeing out there? What do you think is sort of the next version of this?
Yeah, well, I think sort of related to what you just said, it's interesting some of these companies are kind of positioning it as an employee benefit. They're kind of telling the companies and showing, you know, people end up feeling very stressed. They might have to miss work because of, you know, some of these reasons, or needing to go get a payday loan or something like that. You know, they're kind of positioning it saying this could be a perk for your employees. If you offer something like this, you might be able to retain employees longer, or if you actually pay them faster, they may that might give you some kind of competitive advantage, and they might choose your company over another one that pays them less frequently. So I think maybe what we'll see is just that companies are getting more involved in this, especially as, you know, the labor market gets tighter and they're wanting to compete in various ways for the best talent. We might see more, you know, sort of money management tools coming from companies themselves.
Which is great. Maria, thank you so much for being with us today. Maria LaMagna is a reporter with MarketWatch, and she is watching how the cycle of when Americans get paid is changing. Thanks for being with us on the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We're going to come up back in just a moment, take a quick break. Eileen Norcross, who's Vice President of Policy Research at the Mercatus Center, she is coming back to talk about state-by-state fiscal rankings. Illinois not doing so great. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. We all knew it was coming. It's not like we didn't see it. Just look outside. It's evident.
It's fall outside!
No, not that. I'm talking about Sears nearing closer to bankruptcy. Okay, things are not set in stone yet, but it's not looking good. Especially since this last week, their stock has been trading below $1. At this time in 2015, just 3 years ago, it was trading around $25 a share, and that was possibly the beginning of the end. Keep your eyes peeled, because this historic Illinois business could be gone before we know it. But hey, where there's possible business death, there's a wonderful new idea on the horizon, like Home Chef working to put their meal kits in Mariano's stores. Right now, it's just a test, but this could become a major shift in the way consumers shop. The kits usually hold 2 servings per box, and at $8.50 per serving, that's not bad. As the third largest meal kit company in the U.S., they're looking to lock down the market, as consumers are still up in the air about diving in headfirst into this. Maybe they should work on making those checkout lines shorter. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
This is Elise Klink sitting in for Steve Bertrand today. Wall Street still down 218. I know Domity is watching that for you, and we'll have a little bit more coming up at the bottom of the hour. Right now, though, Eileen Norcross, who is Vice President of Policy Research at the Mercatus Center, joins us to talk about the fiscal rankings and where Illinois sits. Here's the short version. We're 50 out of 50. Terrible. This is the final year, fifth and final year, a new study from the Mercatus Center and George Mason University ranking the 50 states according to their financial condition. Eileen, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch, and thank you for bringing this information with you today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we're 50th. I mean, I think that just says a whole lot when you think of some of the other states that are that are ranking low by us. But tell us a little bit more about why Illinois is performing so badly and really what we are facing with this upcoming election.
Illinois does poorly across the board. We look at the short term as well as the long term. Illinois does not have enough cash on hand to meet short-term bills. In terms of revenues, they have not had enough revenues to meet expenses since at least the recession. And then on a long-run basis, the unfunded pension liabilities and debts that the state holds give them a very weak long-term position. Long-term liabilities are 3 times larger than assets. And the unfunded pension liability, of course, is very large and puts a lot of pressure on the state.
Yeah, that's our unfunded pension liability is just massive. I don't know if it's exceeded $160 billion, but I think that was a number I had seen not too recently. Yes, is that around what it is now or higher?
That's probably about right. Our study is using 2016 data, so it was 131 back then, and we readjust those numbers. And if you use discount rates that are more like bonds, we estimate that number is larger.
So what do we need to do to fix Illinois? I know that this is a big topic in the governor's race, but if we don't have enough cash on hand, we don't have enough revenue coming in, I'm enough of an armchair economist to know that's not good. and we have, at some point in time, we're going to face some sort of recession in this country. We're going to get hard hit. You know, how does the state cope with that?
I think pension reform is central to Illinois' fiscal health going forward. There's other analysis to suggest that if Illinois were to fund these pensions for the next 30 years and put in the right amount every year, it would require about 51% of revenues. And that's, so tax increases could be part of that mix. But what you really want to look at is how to reform the system to control the costs, because the numbers are large and they're growing and they require a lot of ongoing revenues. Another option there is to increase employee contributions. But I think structural reform of the pensions, which I know is very difficult in the state because of the constitutional protections around the plan, but that's got to be part of what the state's considering going forward.
You have to change the Constitution. The law has, judges have already ruled that you just can't decide that you're, even with both sides agreeing to change it, you can't just change it. So that's a big problem. What about and really raising taxes in this state compared to some of the other states that don't have taxes or high taxes, especially income taxes, seems to be chasing people out of the state. Is it worth that payoff of raising taxes if you know you're going to lose some high income earnings?
That's right, and that's why tax reform has always got to look at that equation. Tax systems should be structured in such a way that they are broad-based, low-rate, and not targeting necessarily the high earners. A highly progressive tax system. New Jersey has this problem where their top marginal rate is, I think it's up to 10% now, greater than 10% on high earners. But what you have there is a lot of dependency on the high-income people, the people who are operating the businesses. And then if a couple of those people leave, and as New Jersey has found out, that actually hurts their revenues. So you want to make sure, if tax reform is part of this mix, that it's structured in such a way as to bring in the revenues without driving people out of the state.
Well, it's definitely a longer conversation than we have time for today. So I know I'm going to have Steve have you come back and then have the next part of this conversation. So thank you very much for being with us today, Eileen.
Thank you.